Hey everybody, welcome back to Coffee with the Missionary. Sorry I wasn't able to get anything uploaded last week. We've had a great couple of weeks back here in the States. Finally getting acclimated, getting my head back right where I can kind of function a little bit. That 15-hour time difference will get you. This weekend has been great. We went to Shiloh Pentecostal Temple and we had our annual World Missions Conference for the state of Indiana. We were able to send off the Irwins. They were on their way to New Zealand. They actually left Monday, so be in prayer for traveling mercies for them. I'm excited about what God's doing in the South Pacific, excited what he's doing with the Irwin family, and can't wait to see what he does in the future. The conference this year was great. We had a great turnout. Plenty of people showed up, but there was one empty seat where Pastor Russell Elkins used to sit, and you could definitely feel that there is a giant missing, you know, in that service. He was our World Missions Secretary for several years, and he just loved missions and had a heart for missions. And we were so blessed and honored to know him, and it's just a great honor to be there at Shiloh one more time. We was able to see Sister Elkins and plenty people that we've seen over the years, and it was just a blessing to be back at Shiloh. Sunday, we was able to go to St. Clairsville, Ohio. We was with the Nelson family, and we had a great service, great move of God. We just had a wonderful time. Me and Sister Marshall and Adriana was able to go down and worship with them and preach and share the burden and the need of Papua New Guinea. And then on Wednesday this week, which is tomorrow, I'm going to be in Piqua, Ohio with Pastor Dan Mundy. And Sister Marshall will be going with me there. And we actually get to take our oldest daughter and her husband, James and Harley's going to go with us. We're excited about that. They'll get to sit in on that deputation service and just be there for that. It's always good to let them sit in on at least one deputation service so they can kind of hear what God's doing. From a different point of view, we talk to them all the time, but to hear it with the message is always good. This week, though, I just want to talk to you about the calling that God has placed on every Holy Ghost-filled apostolic person and talk about how we can change the world from wherever we may be. And, you know, we always think of the gifts and the callings and being pastors and evangelists and prophets and missionaries, and, you know, and the fact of the matter is we all have a place in the kingdom. We're all part of the body and we all have a job to do. So if you have been baptized in Jesus' name and you're filled with the Holy Ghost, just pray that God will lead you. He'll guide you. He'll direct you. You know, there's so many things that we can do to grow his kingdom without having a microphone in our hand, or without having a huge group of people or a platform. You know, just pray that God will lead you to somebody. It could be at Walmart or Kroger or the gas station or wherever it may be. You know, you may be somewhere, and just ask God to lead you and to guide you to that person that may need to hear about him. We always think of a missionary as being someone that goes thousands of miles into another culture, preaching to people that don't speak your language, and that sometimes is the case. But you can also be a missionary right here. You know, there's plenty of people in the United States that need to hear about Jesus. Me and my family, we didn't start being missionaries when we landed in Papua New Guinea. We didn't start being missionaries when we went on a mission trip somewhere. We started being missionaries whenever we started teaching one-on-one home Bible studies. We started praying that God will lead us to one more soul, to share his gospel and his word with one more person. A lot of people, you know, they think that they need several people in order to make an impact, when the fact of the matter is all of heaven rejoices over one soul that repents. One sinner repents and all of heaven rejoices. And we think that we have to have all of these people around and have everybody see what we're doing, when it's in the trenches where you're really being apostolic. You know, that one-on-one Bible study where you know, you may have been in a Bible study with somebody this week, and there could have been several people there. And you may have had a question at that Bible study. Well, what about this or what about that? When the reality of it is, we don't have to have these huge, huge meetings, because if we have a home Bible study and we have 10 people there, and one person has a question and they feel like, well, I don't want to ask that question in front of all these people, or I really don't know if I want to ask that right now. When if you're in a one-on-one Bible study, you know, people can just be like, hey, what about this? What about that? Why did you know, this happen in the Bible, and why did they not get this result? And we can have those real conversations when it's one-on-one. I love, absolutely love home Bible studies. And I think that's where we're missing a lot of what the church used to be. Because the Bible talks about how the apostles had church. And we put God in a box. We're like, well, I go to church on Sunday. I go to church on Wednesday. We have a Bible study on this day, you know, with this group of people. And those things are great. I'm not saying that those things aren't amazing. What I'm saying is, if you have a one-on-one Bible study, or you have that time set apart, then that's when we really grow, because it's not always these huge corporate things. Because the Bible said that when the apostles had church, that they went from house to house, breaking bread and fellowshipping. So they sat down with each other, and they would have a Bible study. And we have to understand that that doesn't change. The Word of God is forever settled in heaven. So even though, you know, we do have service, and you need to be at every service when the doors of your church open. If it's 2 o'clock on a Sunday or 10 o'clock on a Sunday, and that's when the doors are open, you need to be there. Because we know in the book of Romans it says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. But there's also so much more than that. You know, we think of tithing as money, right? Every time you think of tithes, you're like, well, if I make $100, I give 10 back to God. We think, you know, if I do this, then I give this to God. But the reality of it is, it doesn't just talk about finances and things like that. Tithing is, you can tithe of your time, you all of these things, you know. There's 24 hours a day, and you're not giving 2 hours and 40 minutes back to God, then you've neglected to give Him your time for the day. If there's 7 days in a week, you know, you have to give 10% of that back to Him. You have to give, we have to realize that everything we do, and as a missionary, it's easy for people to think, well, you know, every time that they're in America, they're talking about this kind of stuff, like money and this and that. But we're talking about souls. We're talking about getting out and getting into the trenches and going into the highways and the byways, like the Bible tells us to do. It says to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That means we have to go everywhere. That doesn't just mean we have to go thousands and thousands of miles out of our country, out of where we are. We have to go everywhere. We have to go to the Detroit, Michigans. We have to go to the San Francisco, Californians. We have to go to the Indianapolis, Indianas. We have to go everywhere and preach the gospel. So everybody has to have their own focus and their own influence. You have to think about your circle of people. There's people that you know that I may never meet. Or there's people that you know that I may know as well. And I could offer them a home Bible study, or I could offer them prayer, and they would just shrug it off and be like, yeah, I'm good. But if you go to them, they've been, you know, you have that relationship where you can be effective with that person, and you can teach them a home Bible study, or you can pray with them and be way more effective than anyone else. But we always wait on somebody else. There's a song, and it talks about waiting on the preachers, prophets, and teachers to come and do what I can do. You know, we can put everything off on everybody else and not have a problem with it. But God does have a problem with it, because we are charged and we are commissioned. It doesn't say, hey, if you are called pastor to take the gospel unto the uttermost parts of the earth, doesn't say, hey, if you're a missionary, you're called to take the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth. It says, if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, if you're called by my name, you know, we are charged as Christians, as Holy Ghost-filled people, we are charged to carry the gospel all around this world. And we neglect to look in our own backyard. When we think about the entire world, the world's a big place. And, you know, we may have a neighbor that we've never spoken to that doesn't know Jesus. That's your mission field. We may know somebody across town or even across the country that we've met, and we may be the only Jesus that they ever get to see. And it's our job, you and me, it's our job to take this gospel to all of those people. The people that I can have an effect on, God, I pray that you would lead me to them. I pray that I could find that one soul, because that's what it's all about. You could have an assignment from God that's just a one-time deal, right? God could give you an assignment inside of a store somewhere or inside at a gas station somewhere just to be an ear to listen or a voice to speak some encouragement into someone. We always have to be mindful of what God is wanting to do. You know, that old saying, what would Jesus do? A lot of people used to say, well, that makes me mad because Jesus already done it. And to an extent, I can see where they're coming from. But you have to ask yourself that question. If someone is laying in front of you and they are broken and they are bruised and they are just hurting and they don't look like you or they don't think like you or they don't talk like you or anything like that, then we still have to do what Jesus would do, right? We have to be the one thing that they see positive in their day. I love going to a service and having people that doesn't look Pentecostal in the service or doesn't act like we do, or you know, you may smell that whiff of somebody smoked a cigarette before they came into the church because they've not been coming very long. You know, that as the churches grow and the more alive your church is, the more diversity you're going to have. But when we do our home Bible studies and we do our discipleship, we have to understand that, you know, in the past, so many people have came into the apostolic church and they have changed everything about themselves and they don't know why. Well, you know, all of the ladies wear skirts, so I started wearing a skirt. I don't know why. I just done it because everyone else did. All of the ladies don't cut their hair, so I quit cutting my hair. I don't know why, but I just done it because everybody else did. And a lot of times, you know, people will be like, well, the guys have it easy in the apostolic church because, you know, you look at a lady and you can just tell because she's got her hair up, she's wearing a skirt, this, that, or the other. And, you know, we have to check our character as men because there are so many times that our holiness is our attitude, right? We can be a bitter person and never win anybody to God. We can do whatever and lose that one soul. And, you know, full transparency, my attitude's not always the best because I'm a human, you know, and things happen. And sometimes my temper gets short or I'll say something, and thank the Lord he's given me a wife that's not afraid to call me out. She'll bust me out and be like, hey, you need to go pray, or hey, you need to rethink how you worded that. You need to change that a little bit. But we have to understand that we do things because when we do them, there's a biblical reason. And when we get a good, mark that word, good, home Bible study, we understand why we do what we do. We can go to a home Bible study. I've heard people do this. We can go to a home Bible study. We can sit down and we can talk and we can fellowship and we can do this and we can do that. But the fact of the matter is, fellowship is important. Being with people is important, but if you're there for a Bible study, you need to sit down and have a Bible. You need to open your Bible, and you need to get into His Word, and you need to grow, and you need to be taught, right? Fellowship can happen after the Bible study. Fellowship can happen on another day, but if you're there to study His Word, you need to do just that. You need to get into the Word. You need to learn. You need to grow, because a lot of people that get home Bible studies, are new converts. So if they come to a home Bible study and they think all you're going to do is fellowship, drink coffee, have tea, have cookies, and talk, then that's what Bible study is to them. But if they come in, you're like, look, this is what we're going to do. We're going to dedicate 1 hour to this Bible study. We got everything prepared. We're going to go through everything. After the Bible study, we'll sit down, we'll have cake, coffee, whatever. But we need to dedicate that time, and we need to study the Word of God. That way they know the answers to the questions that they have, right? If they have questions about holiness, we need to give them a home Bible study about holiness. If they have questions about appearance, we need to have a home Bible study about appearance. Whatever it may be, anything from the Word of God all the way up to why we do what we do, when we do it, why we do it, how we do it, right? Everything needs to be covered in a home Bible study. That way, you're able to go out and you're able to share what they need to know. Because some people may come into the church with a churched background. You know, you could have somebody come into the church and they may have went to church their entire life, but they may just have some questions that they need answered, because as Christians, we're really bad about glancing over the uncomfortable things. You know, it's like we have plenty of churches in Papua New Guinea, and they always want me to be the one to come and teach on tithing and offering because it's an uncomfortable subject, right? So we have to touch on those uncomfortable places, because if it's in the Word of God and it's things that we need to do, we need to share with them why we do these things and where it is in the Bible. That way they're not just conforming, they're being transformed, right? They're being changed to do what God has called them to do and be what God has called them to be. So I challenge you this week, find somebody to pray with. Find somebody to give a home Bible study to. We have Resurrection Morning coming up here in a couple of weeks. Some of you call it Easter. I call it Resurrection Sunday. Whatever you call it, invite some people to church with you on Resurrection Morning. Let an unchurched person or a lost soul or a prodigal hear what Jesus done for them. Let him hear about the stripes that he took on his back and the nails that they drove in his hands. Let him know that they beat him and they bruised him and they ran a spear into his side. Let him know that they put him in that grave. But also let him hear that on the third day he rose again. And then 50 days later he came back and he dwelt inside a man. And he gave us this perfect gift of Christ in us in the form of the Holy Ghost. And we know that we have it the first time by speaking in tongues, and power comes with it. Let them experience the power of God on Resurrection Morning. God bless you guys. Thank you so much for your continued prayers and support. This week, I'd like to give Victory Church in Newcastle, Indiana, a shout out. They was our number one contributor for the month of February, and they also happen to be our home church. So it's always good to see them on the top, so I can give them a shout out for that. God bless you guys. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week.